Hey guys, it's Malls. Thanks so much for listening to Please Advise. Just a quick message before the show. Don't forget to subscribe in iTunes. It's super helpful for us and super helpful for you. You can also call 323-450-7408 to get your calls on the show. Again, 323-450-7408. Or email askpleaseadvise@gmail.com with your voice notes or emails. Thanks so much. Oh my God, I'm so excited. Okay, you guys, it's a Please Advise mini app with my favorite podcast hosts, Benjamin Light and Margo Sparks of Rose Watch PLL 2.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi. How are you guys?
Doing great. Yeah.
Okay, so we've been overdue for this for like a really long time. We tried to set this up last year. I think like Christina lied to you and said that I was, something happened to me, but I was actually just in a gigantic fight with my ex-boyfriend and he wouldn't let me leave his house. So, very Aria of me. I apologize for that. I was the pretty little liar in that scenario. I apologize.
Excellent. Well,
you guys, I'm so excited to talk to you because I can literally listen to you talk about Pretty Little Liars for 3 hours a week. And I do. and I'm sad when the show goes off, mostly because I miss your conversation. But I have to say, like, I'm barely hanging on right now with Pretty Little Liars.
I can see that. I mean, I think any show, when it gets to season 7, especially a show that started out in high school, it gets to a certain point where it's like you've done all these plot lines before, and I think the mystery they're trying to set up isn't as compelling as the previous ones. I mean, I'm mostly just hanging on for the characters. Like, the mystery, I guess it's a little interesting now with, like, the reveals of the last episode. But, yeah, I can see that. I mean, we get a lot of people telling us that.
I think a lot of people, like, bringing back all of these characters that used to be on the show, you're bound to bring back people that other folks don't like, you know? So there's a very visceral reaction, especially when Emily has 3 girlfriends.
I know.
Someone's going to get pissed off.
Like, can Emily just be friends with anyone? Like, she goes so hard after every girl. It's like, Emily, you're allowed to just be friends with some people. So dark. So I guess the thing that I'm having an issue with is less like, oh, I don't want to see Noel Kahn. Like, I feel like it's turning into this show Passions, like where all of a sudden it could be this like totally normal love story. And then if they said like, oh, now there's bridge trolls in this world, like we have to accept that. Like, oh, Arya is actually like a witch. Like that is, I feel like they could do something like that to us at this point because it's so... it's beyond any sort of drama I've ever seen. It's like almost like Lost or something at this point.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Arya being a witch, I could feel that. I could be into that. Like if she had to kill Ezra and throw him into a cauldron. I don't
guys,
know. To summon a ghost.
What do we think is going on with Ezra and Arya? Because I have to say, I don't think that he and Nicole were having like a romantic connection. I didn't read that. Like they didn't even kiss each other on the lips. Are we just supposed to believe that they're like back together now?
The way I kind of read it was just, it was a real outpouring of emotion between the two of them that Arya got to see. And I'm sure it's going to complicate things. I think he's still ultimately going to end up with Arya. I didn't see that as romantic as just kind of like this release. You know, like, how does one react to their dead former fiance appearing out of nowhere from the jungle?
Yeah, I feel like if I saw my worst enemy come out of the Costa Rican jungle after being disappeared for 4 years, I would be happy to see them. Mm-hmm. I would have that reaction.
I think we'll get drama for a couple episodes. And I don't know what Nicole's going to do. It's going to have to be something where she's like, peace out, like go to Arya or something like that.
Like she fell in love with one of her captors.
Yeah. Or she's like Stockholm and she tries to kill Arya or something.
Totally. Yeah. Marco, what were you going to say when I cut you off?
I was thinking the last thing that Ezra said to Nicole was fucking shitty. So I'm sure he's excited to see her alive and probably continue being shitty to her at least for 5 minutes before he goes back to Arya. So yeah, I don't know what to take. I mean, I definitely felt Arya's reaction to all that, you know, seeing it on TV too, as he's like hugging and holding her close and talking to her. But yeah, I mean, Arya and Ezra are just cretinous for each other. Like they're going to end up together.
For sure. Do you think that there's a chance I mean, none of the liars are AD, right? There's no way.
No.
They're not going to give us what we've always wanted.
Seemingly, no. If you believe what we saw in the last finale there, they're all there and a separate person takes Jenna away. So presumably that person is AD.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I feel like right now the show used to be amazing because the twists and turns were so unbelievable. But when Jessica De Laurentiis's twin tells Spencer that she's her mother, I was like, oh, I know the sentence that's about to come out of her mouth. She's about to say, Spencer, I'm your mother. Mm. I just feel it's all kind of really predictable at this point. And one thing about PLL that was so great up until the CC mystery or being solved was that it was just so unpredictable. Like every episode they gave you breadcrumbs, but it was still like wildly unpredictable. I feel like right now they're just trying to put a little bow on it and kind of make us happy. And I understand with finales, no one will ever be satisfied, right? We've been following this for 7 years. I think people are traditionally a lot more disappointed than I am because I have my expectations pretty low. But who do you think AD is? And do you think that there's going to be a way to reveal it that is interesting still?
Marco, you go first.
I think I fall into the Charlotte category and I think Benji falls into the Mona category. And somewhere in the middle is probably the answer. Is there a way to reveal it interestingly? God, I hope so. I feel like they had to have learned from a lot of the criticism, though, from the one where CC was unmasked. You know, I don't think we want to watch like just a 2-hour monologue or an hour monologue that should be 2 hours or anything like that. Because it just felt so rushed and pat. I don't know. I mean, but real quick, but going back to you said, Benji, like about the reveal and none of the liars could be AD. Unless Spencer was like, hey, Jenna, watch this. And she shot herself like in the chest. Which would be super dark.
But then who's dragging Jenna away?
Who knows? Yeah. But I like Spencer saying, hey, Jenna, watch this.
I kind of feel like maybe there's a chance that Spencer and Jason have been in on this together. I wonder about Jason potentially being AD. I just don't think they'd have the fucking balls to be like, oh, it's Mona. Like, I mean, I would feel betrayed if they did that to me. They've already given me Mona. We've been through Charlotte. It has to be a new one.
Hmm. Yeah, I think Mona is a helper. That's kind of my vibe. She's a helper and may in fact know who AD is. But yeah, as to who AD is, I know the whole Andrew Campbell thing was hot before that whole business happened where the actor got arrested. I really don't want it to be Lucas, even though Lucas would make the most sense right now, given what we've gotten and like his continued presence in the flash forward. Mona and Lucas, I don't know. To me, that's kind of blah, but I think it'd be the easiest to explain that, I suppose.
Lucas is such a loser. Mm-hmm. I don't want to ever see him again. But I actually just remembered, I've been meaning to tell you guys, I don't know if I did, but Andrew Campbell did a stint on, the actor who plays him did a stint on Two Broke Girls right when he got the part on Pretty Little Liars. And the chick who played, oh my God, Bianca Lawson, she was on Two Broke Girls too. And I would harass them the entire time we were filming and just be like, please just tell me anything. Mm. I had no idea the guy that when Andrew, what is that actor's name?
Brendan
Jones.
I mean, I'm not going to say his performance wasn't good. I just was really surprised that this guy wound up taking on such a huge role on Pretty Little Liars. Like, I didn't think much of him. What was his arrest for?
It was something where, like, he was in a fight with a neighbor and, like, brandished a gun. I don't really know. I mean, I don't want to speculate. He's done other work since then, so it may not be that big of a deal. But he hasn't been around at all, which makes me think it would be kind of like pulling a rabbit out of a hat to be like, oh, yeah, it was Andrew. And it's like, you haven't seen this guy since 603, but yeah, it was him. You know, it's been 40 episodes.
I mean, I was kind of shocked that they got Chloe Bridges back to do a line.
That was so weird.
Like if I was Chloe Bridges' manager, I'd just be like, no thanks, pass. Why? I mean, I'm sure it was, I kept thinking that either she is going to be a much bigger role in the second part of this season, mm-hmm. or she had a lot of stuff cut. I don't know how much cutting they do on a show like this, though, how many like scenes on average get cut. You guys have more knowledge of what goes on in the writer's room than I do. Do you know if what we see on the screen is pretty true to the script, or do they have to cut a lot of scenes?
I don't have any like concrete info, but from what I know, they tend to only shoot what they need to, with like rare exceptions. And usually they'll like put those exceptions online. Like I remember there's like once like a short Allie Jessica De Laurentiis like flashback they cut, but I have to think.
Also Barry Maple.
Yeah, Barry Maple. Mm-hmm.
And the weird thing about that is I couldn't tell. I'm like, are we supposed to consider this as part of the show now? Like, if mm-hmm. I've seen this mini episode, am I supposed to move forward with this information in mind? Or am I supposed to just acknowledge that it wasn't important enough to make it to the show? So it's probably like a fever dream.
Yeah, I consider it non-canon unless it's in the show myself. But I don't know. I don't think the writers ever commented on that one or the other. But I have to think Sydney... there's more coming. Like, we still haven't found out who she and Mona and Jenna were all meeting in the 100th episode, the mysterious fourth member. So
that's right. Oh, if it was Lucas, I swear to God, I'm going to kill myself. you guys, I need to know, as this show wraps up, I worry about our actresses. They've been on a huge hit show for so long now. I don't know if they've peaked in popularity. I was so happy to hear that Troyan directed an episode this year. Cause I'm like, okay, she's thinking. Like, that's a girl that's like, I mean, she's obviously like Illuminati or whatever because of her father, but like, she's thinking ahead. She's like learning how to direct. Who do you think we're going to continue to see after the show is over?
Definitely Troyan, but like you said, not necessarily in front of the camera all the time. Cause she's doing post-production on a movie that she wrote. She just had like a Lifetime movie. I mean, they'd be fools not to eventually put her in like some kind of like Marvel superhero movie or a DC TV show or something like that. I don't know, Benji, do you think Lucy Hale ever fall into some kind of 50 Shades of Grey-esque role?
I think it seems almost inevitable that she'd get at least one rom-com. Like, I think it's like, okay, you graduated from your show. Here's a rom-com, and after that, it's going to be up to, you know, how it performs. But I think her and Ashley Benson are both going to get some stuff. Shane Mitchell seems like she's more interested in doing, like, becoming, like, a new, like, kind of TV personality or whatnot.
Yeah, like a Brooke Burke, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Or, like, on a morning talk show.
That makes sense. She's all about her brand, and, like, I noticed, I don't know, I read this, like, Cosmo article when I was getting my hair done the other day. And all Shay was talking about was like how she's managed to use social media to build a brand, which is like such an expired concept to begin with. But like, I think they're trying to maybe do like a Jessica Alba with her, where she's like going to go start her own like honest company or something like that. They're really comfortable with her in that area. And I think that she does have enough fans to support something like that. Doesn't she have like a workout line or something, like workout gear?
Probably soon.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I saw something about that.
I had a conversation with my friend the other day who's a talent manager for young kids. She actually worked with Chloe for a while. And she said to me that by far the one that's easily going to be the most successful after is Ashley Benson, because it's very rare to be a blonde in Hollywood, which I didn't even realize is like, that's a real thing.
I can see that, yeah.
I have always been like so impressed by Troyan's ability, though. Like the scene when, oh God, I guess it was maybe season 3 when she thought Toby was dead. Yeah. Her face in the car at the end of that scene was like the best acting ever.
Yeah. That whole storyline was just such a fucking like showcase for her.
So you guys, what are we doing about the fact that we've never really addressed that Ezra's a complete pedophile?
Well, you had the Liam confrontation, and that may be all we get. I don't know.
I mean, I just, it's so not PLL. I'm glad they did it, but it almost seemed like political. Like, they're like, okay, we have to mention something. And I really liked Liam actually as a character, even though he was a little bit like dweeby. Like, I liked that someone on the show was actually saying what people at home were thinking. But I don't know if I can stand by this show ending with Arya being with what is essentially her abuser.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really don't know how they're going to wrap that up ultimately. Like, I don't want to like speak for the writers because I don't know what they really think, but I get the sense that they're trying to kind of work in little commentary into the margins on it. I mean, he's even just as a straight, just a normal character, like not delving under the surface. He's kind of horrible, like just in general, not even relating to Arya, but just as a character, he's such like a whiny little bitch.
Yeah, so, you guys hate him.
Yeah, he's just awful. So it kind of seems to me like maybe they have to like do an Arya Ezra thing because the network wants it, or you know, some people on the writing staff want it, but they're trying to work in their own little counter narrative. And so it's like, well, if you don't like Ezra here, this is what you can hold on to.
Yeah.
I just want to say, I've kind of always wondered, like, are you secretly super jealous of Ezra?
In a way.
You guys go on. I knew it. It's coming from a place of jealousy. I totally knew it. Okay. You guys, I want to know though, I thought they did a pretty good job with the time hop, which is really, really hard to do normally. Like, normally I'm just out when something like that happens. It's Saved by the Bell, the new class. Like, who cares, right? Mm-hmm. But what did you think that they left behind that we need to see in the second part of the seventh season in order for this, like, time jump to really, like, seal the deal? Because I feel like there was a lot of things they kind of left behind about the characters that I'm missing.
Well, we haven't gotten much of the parents. Mm-hmm. They've kind of popped up here and there. As to the characters themselves, I don't know. Marco, what do you think?
Hastings. Always more Hastings.
Yeah. Melissa.
Yeah, definitely Melissa. She's got to come back before the end of the show. Like, that. I want that almost more than I finally want somebody to tell Ezra to his face he's a pedophile. You know? Just because I feel like getting Melissa back is more realistic.
Right.
I don't know. Like, for the longest time at the end of season six, I was like, you got to bring back fucking Noel Kahn, you know, but you know, now that's coming.
I still think Maya might be alive. I don't know why I'm holding on to that, but I have a sneaking suspicion she might be AD.
Oh,
I would not put the odds of that very high. Although Marlene did tweet recently that we might meet a relative of Maya's.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, I love that. Maybe like a real relative as opposed to that fictional relative. Yeah. So it's very obvious Allie is impregnated with Emily's baby, right? We're all there for that?
Seemingly, yeah.
That way, yeah.
Okay, so what happened in the Hastings family that Spencer wound up being raised as a Hastings and Jason wound up being a De Laurentiis?
I can only guess that it was something where, what's her face? Mary got out of Radley for a little bit and like pretended to be Jessica, slept with Peter, got pregnant, and like kind of they figured it out eventually. So when she had the kid, the Hastings adopted it.
Or surrogate issue.
Or it could be a surrogate thing. But why would you go to a mental hospital for a surrogate?
Why does anyone go to the mental hospital for whatever they go to the mental hospital for?
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure it out. I mean, I still think that I think back to the time when Spencer was addicted to Adderall and she had like a whole second personality.
Yep.
I think back to that time a lot because I think it's more important than it isn't. And if her mom is a mentally ill woman, which, by the way, do we even really know what's mentally ill about Mary?
Not really. No.
No.
I mean, she maybe, you know, we don't know whether she's lying or not about the whole situation with her babysitting the kid that died.
I mean, according to her, her problem's always been that her sister's been a real bitch to her.
Mm-hmm.
Which I can buy that.
Yeah, I'll put you in the mental hospital for that.
And seemingly, Jessica would not want a child of Mary's herself. Like, she'd have Peter's kid, Jason, but she wouldn't want to adopt Mary's kid.
the detail I always like from that storyline you're mentioning, Miles, though, is not just that the Spencer would like have these weird traits when she was on the Adderall. It's like how familiar it seemed to Veronica constantly.
Yes.
Like almost like it was somebody, it reminded her of someone. I always loved that in retrospect.
Oh, I kind of always felt like she was like, oh, she's at it again. Like all these years, like she has had this like split personality issue that comes out, whether it be on Adderall or anything else. Like when she is in a compromised emotional state, like Spencer just goes off the rails. I had never picked up on the fact that maybe it reminds her of someone else. I just felt that she was comfortable with Spencer's personality change because she's seen it so many times.
Mm-hmm.
Well, fuck this season. I want to go back for a minute. Will you guys tell me your top three each all-time favorite Pretty Little Liars moments?
Oh, shit.
Oh, God. Wow. Okay. I guess you're looking for major moments because like a minor moment that makes me laugh every single time is when Emily is complaining to Arya at school about how annoying it is to have Hannah as a roommate. And Arya just replies, she goes, uh-oh. And it's like this really condescending, like Arya's enjoying this pain moment, which I've always loved.
Hmm.
I like that. I mean, you guys seem to have it real out for Arya and that you really feel she's a psycho. And maybe I just identify with her so much that I've never really felt that Arya is a psycho, but that seems to be a constant theme on your podcast that like something is deeply like wrong with this girl.
But we love her.
Oh, I don't think that we necessarily consider it a wrongness. I think we think she's insane, but that's a good thing.
Yeah.
What's insane about her?
Benji?
Have you ever noticed the weird looks she gets on her face whenever she's using a computer?
No.
Somebody needs to make like a Tumblr of it or something because she always looks completely nuts. Like her eyes get all big and she has these weird, creepy smiles on her faces.
Like when she's writing her college essay about Ezra. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. God, that was such a troubled storyline. Okay, I'm going to make you go back to your favorite moment.
Okay.
Oh, I'm going to need one from you.
I mean, right off the bat, one of my favorite, slightly larger moment is the fucking like truth or dare game in the con game.
Yes.
In Okan's like cabin. I fucking love that whole sequence.
I can go back and rewatch that one anytime. It also just like, I'm kind of from that part of the country. I'm from Massachusetts, which is different, but kind of not really. And kids don't just like run shit like that. Also, Pennsylvania is kind of poor.
Right.
Like it's kind of a hick state. Like I don't understand why these kids are so sophisticated that they're living in almost Beverly Hills life where they have this like cabin in the woods to themselves where there's no adults and the drinking is just open and free. Did you guys go to high schools like that? Like it just always seems so unfamiliar to me. Like maybe my LA friends grew up like that, but back East, no one really does that.
Nah, I went to a suburban high school. I don't know. Although Marco, you were for a year in Virginia, so.
You know, it wasn't like this. I mean, everyone was always having more fun than I was in high school, but I don't suspect they were having that kind of fun. Well, a few of the girls in our high school were having that kind of fun, but not like near teenage Eyes Wide Shut levels, no. With like passwords and secret hand stamps and shit.
Yeah.
If I could mention another favorite moment too, it's in season 3 when Hannah goes to visit Mona when she's in Radley, and Mona, she's kind of like off her meds and like a little less crazy and finally talking to Hannah for the first time. And she has a line about, you know, like, I've had to forgive myself for a lot of it, you know, what happened. And it's so like not apologetic to Hannah at all because Mona's nuts. I love that. It's great.
Hmm.
Do you feel that she was genuinely nuts? I kind of forget because it feels so long ago that the Charlotte reveal happened. But what was Mona's deal? She was just drugged up as fuck and when she first got to Radley, and so she was easily manipulated by Charlotte?
That's the official story, yeah. I'm not sure if I entirely buy that. If my theory about Mona is correct, she's much more involved than she seems and could be lying about that.
Do you think that she might be the best character on the show?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's either her or Spencer. It has to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree with that.
It was complicated. I have to say, though, I for like literally a lesbian that gets down with every single girl in town. Her fucking records for, like, and no one has ever gotten more ass than Emily Fields. Her character should be amazing. She bores the shit out of me. Like, if I could fast forward through all the Emily scenes, I would. I just know that I'm going to miss something. But she just is just so boring, and it drives me nuts because I know it's a very LGBT-heavy room, and so I would think that they would have given her character so much more to work with than just the I'm gay, I'm poor storyline. Like, it's actually almost like I actually kind of don't like that they made the one LGBT character on the show struggle with money, because I feel like that's like a very common, stereotype, that, you know, you wind up being ostracized from your family and broke and doing things like bartending in a shitty bar in California and lying about your entire life. I just don't know why they haven't given her more. Do you think that's a testament to Shay Mitchell's acting, or do you think there's just so much going on with the other more developed characters?
I think part of it, like, the other liars kind of had these, like, really big glaring flaws, but they seem reluctant to really let Emily kind of, like, delve into a dark side. Like, she's kind of a Hufflepuff. She's just there to be nice. And so she doesn't get, like, the crazy Spencer stuff or Arya being wild, or Hannah can be really bitchy and kind of like mean girlish, but Emily is just the nice one, you know?
Yeah, I think my favorite Emily moment is probably when she's in the street outside her house and like Chloe Bridges comes up to her and Emily like loses her shit. And when she realizes she's working with Jenna, and she's just like, bitch, I'm going to become your coach. I'm going to murder you in the pool. I'm going to make your life hell. And it's like, Emily becomes fucking nasty for like 5 minutes, and in front of her own house too. And it was like an Emily that I loved, like Emily like strolling out of the fire, you know, like that I love in a way we hadn't seen her before, because she's always too nice.
Well, this is my theory about nice people, like, quote unquote, the nice guy. They're always the biggest psycho. Like, no one's just nice. Like, sorry, like, no one is. There's not a single person on this planet that is through and through just a nice guy. There's some dark shit going on under the surface, and I want to see Emily snap, because at this point she has been hiding some part of her personality for so long that literally all we have from her is like she's the nice, kind, compassionate one. She can't be. No one is just the nice, kind, compassionate one. Every human is much more complicated than that, and they've given such nuances to all of these other characters. I mean, I am so impressed. I'm not particularly a fan of Ashley Benson's acting outside of the greatest movie ever, Spring Breakers. But I'm amazed to see what they've done with the Hannah character over the year. They've really played to Ashley Benson's strengths. And Lucy Hale is just like, you love her. And like Troyan, everyone's just blown away by her. Even I feel like I know more about Mona than I do with Emily. So if I'm not going to see some sort of major freak out from Emily at the end of season 7, I'm just going to say it's all Shay Mitchell's fault.
Hey, I was kind of hoping that after the flash forward, when she was not the one who went to college or lasted in college, she's just like a bartender, she'd have a little bit of an edge to her, but I can't say we've really gotten that. She's still pretty much same old Emily.
Yeah, that's what broke my heart about like kind of the LGBT angle of it, was that like she didn't come out a stronger, tougher person. It's almost just like, you know, she has this really, you know, intense storyline. We're growing up kind of closeted and coming out, and then immediately getting a girlfriend, really strong love stories from her. She goes to college, she fails out. They just don't portray her as a strong character. She seems to be consistently the character that shows the least strength, which is just annoying to me, because I feel in general, and this may be like a negative stereotype the same way that it's like all black guys have gigantic dicks, but I just feel like, and typically the LGBT people I know are some of the stronger people I know because of the stuff that they've had, the adversity they've had to face. Mm-hmm. And it just doesn't seem authentic to the character. I don't know.
It's hard to have the caregiver storyline be the interesting one too. And she's always the caregiver.
Yeah, she always puts herself last. She's always looking for someone else to feel bad for.
I mean, like, we literally watched this like Caleb fuck scene by a fire, and then we cut to Emerson just like cuddling and being sad and watching an old black and white movie. And it's just, yeah, Emily was losing. Like, she wasn't getting the fire, the passion, or anything of that stuff. And she has three girlfriends. There should be some passion in her life.
Wait a minute. I'm having a realization. Hmm. So remember the final scene of 6B? Of course you do, where we're seeing Allie writing Mrs. Rollins on the chalkboard. And they all come in and are like, we're here for you. I don't know how that's going to line back up. Because they always have said, like, no, that's cutting towards, like, almost the finale. That scene is from totally something different. Obviously, most likely it's probably her ex-husband. What are we calling him now? Archer?
Archer Greenhill.
Yeah, I'm guessing it's him, but or someone related to him. I don't know. I just don't know how at this point we're going to get back to that. And I'm also unclear on why she's using his last name in that scene. Like, did they forget that they did that scene or what?
Yeah, this scene. I've been complaining about this one for a while. I think they said that it's definitely going to be addressed in the next half season. I mean, they have to. Mm-hmm. I don't know how it's anything other than a dream sequence. I really thought when that first aired, and it was the 6-10 finale after we found out about Charlotte, I really thought that that would be like the next episode. It'd be like picking up there.
Yeah.
But then it just never happened. And it was like, well, how the heck are you going to loop that back in now?
Yeah.
Well, it's the way that Arya said, we all came back here for you, which makes me think, are they going to like disperse the beginning of 7B or something? I mean, they've already all been back for like what, a year?
Yeah, I don't know. I can only assume it's a dream sequence. That's my guess.
Yeah, and if that's the case, I'm just so disappointed. I'm also really unclear on how any of these people are floating financially right now. Like, they're like 25. Like, it's officially not cute to not have a job anymore.
Well, they're half of them are crashing at Lucas's, like, pad, which you know is just covered with webcams.
Yeah.
I mean, I believe Spencer. I can believe Spencer's coasting on her cash. Arya, I guess she's spending Ezra's money.
Well, she's theoretically just an author, like working on her book with him or something. I don't know.
Yeah, there might be like an advance that she's splitting. Emily, though, I really worry about, like, when she doesn't go to work, you know, and I got enough to worry about with Emily, but when she doesn't go to work, I worry how she's affording coffee at the brew, you know.
Yeah, do you guys think Wayne Fields is in the mix? Do you think he's going to come back?
No, I don't. I don't think Emily should be poor, though. I feel like Shay Mitchell working at a bar, she's going to get a lot of money in tips. She's going to be just fine.
Totally. Well, not if she has that frowny face on that she always has. Here, I'm not trying to tell women to smile more, but Jesus Christ, Emily, get a new facial expression. I haven't seen her do anything with her face in 2 years. Well, okay, I have to ask you guys real quickly. Are you on Snapchat?
No. I am not. Marco, you're on Snapchat, aren't you?
I mean, I do watch some of the PLL snaps sometimes. I guess that's true.
Did you see Shay Mitchell make her assistant eat a dog bone?
No. What?
Like a real one or like a biscuit?
Yeah, like a biscuit.
Okay.
Like she's like, you know, we got you a cookie, and like the assistant takes a bite and they're like, ha, it's dog food. And you really get to kind of see their personalities. And I feel like this episode sounds like I hate Shay Mitchell. I don't. I actually find her to be much more charming than Ashley Benson. I consider her to be the problem child of the group. But it's really fascinating to see how many spoilers they have allowed on the Snapchat themselves. You would think that the actresses' Snapchats would be more closely guarded than they are.
Mm-hmm. I assume that's part
of their marketing, though.
Shay Mitchell's like future is going to be in comedy, though. Like that scene you just mentioned on Snapchat, you could tell me that we could make a whole movie out of that. You know what I mean? It's her as the evil actress and her poor put-upon assistant.
Yes. Her assistant is always with her. The chick's name is Sammy. Mm-hmm. I have to say, good for Shay Mitchell because I'm impressed that she's been able to maintain that relationship. Mm-hmm. Ashley Benson, you never see her with a consistent assistant. You know she must have one.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can't say, you know, when we were on the set, Sammy was there. I briefly spoke to her because she thought I like worked in the industry. And I was like, nope, definitely not. But Ashley Benson was very nice to us. She took a picture with us. So
I'll say this for Sammy. she knows her boss. She carries hot sauce in her purse everywhere they go just to appease her boss.
Yeah.
So just knowing that, I feel like Sammy should get a raise.
Yeah. Oh, Sammy should definitely get a raise. I mean, the fact that she ate a dog bone, like, I literally laugh about that in traffic probably 3 times a week. So, I mean, she's given me much more. I would like to start a GoFundMe just for Sammy. But yeah, I want some more predictions from you guys because no one knows the show. I feel better than you guys. And I also want to hear a little bit about your on-set visit. Can you, before we get into predictions, can you just tell me how that went down?
We went and visited the Warner Brothers lot. We were on set for a couple hours and then we went and did the tour, but you know, anyone can do the tour. Getting on to be on the set and hang out in Video Village, like watch the scene be filmed, that was lots of fun.
No. I mean, I need the details. Like, who reached out to you and said, hey, do you want to come on set?
So I had sent something to Norman Buckley just saying, can we interview you sometime? We'd love to. It's about time. And he responded quite quickly, very nicely with like, yeah, by the way, do you want to come down and to the set one day? And I was just like, fuck yeah, we'd love to. It was that easy. It was that, I mean, he was super cool. He reached out to us. And like, I don't know, like a month later, we worked out the details and we were there.
Mm-hmm. I love going on the Warner Brothers lot. Whenever I have a meeting, I always just take my car and illegally drive it through that woods. Like, I know I'm not supposed to drive through that woods, but I always do. And the scene, that motel that they got into a fight. I mean, I'm surprised at actually how far ahead the filming is. They must be almost done mm-hmm. with 7B. Right?
Yeah, they're about to do 18.
Just doing episode 18. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I was surprised that set was like up to go. Where was I? I was a meeting back, I don't know, probably 6 or 7 months ago. I'm surprised at how far ahead they are production wise. I guess that's what happens with dramas. You guys want to be TV writers, right?
Yes.
Yes.
What drama?
Yeah, starting there.
Yeah, not like sitcom or anything. I think we're more genre drama type stuff. Yeah.
Okay, so I need to like know more about you because you guys keep it pretty tight. Like, mm-hmm. what's your deal? How old are you? Where do you live? What do you do for a living? What's going on with you,
Marco?
So we are mid 30s. I'm 35. Benji, you're what?
36.
Oh, okay. We live in the Sacramento area. Somebody make our TV show. Yeah.
Yeah. I answer phones for a living.
Yeah.
I've had so many theories about what your jobs are. It's like, I was like, maybe they work like night IT for something. I knew it was something because your hours are really strange.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure Marco loves that.
What's your pilot about?
We should really be prepared for this question. It is about a teenage girl who gets in lots of trouble in a small town.
Three mm-hmm. mm-hmm. like that. Is it edgy?
I'd say it's fairly edgy. It's kind of like a teen mystery show. Not exactly like PLL. It's more mystery in like a little bit of a Nancy Drew sense.
But I mean, so there's some tonal stuff that's very similar to PLL. And I would say edgy in the sense, we wanted to write the kind of role that a show featuring this character as a man probably would have been greenlit a lot faster.
Ooh, yep. Sad reality of this business, honey. I know. Do you, like, are you guys going to make the leap? Are you going to move to LA? I feel like it's probably not convenient for you to be trying to staff from Sacramento.
Yeah, it's something we think about often. I mean, I need to move somewhere soon, so LA is certainly in the mix for me.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to once, you know, the nibbles are there or they start to pull us in that direction or we make the right connection.
I have to say I'm really shocked that they didn't bring you because, you know, with Writers Guild, like legally every season, I don't know, if legally is the right term, but the union requires you to bring in one non-union person a season to write an episode. It's like you usually give it to like your writer's assistant or something. Mm-hmm. So I'm like shocked that they haven't picked you guys to write an episode. They have to give away two a season.
Oh, that's very nice of you to say. I honestly wouldn't want to write for PLL just because I feel like when the show is working and the magic is there, it's because I would have never gone in the direction they went in. And so like I wouldn't want to try to get in the middle of that.
I would love to write for PLL, but I would first, my super nerdy wish would, I would love to spend a day in that writer's room and just like at the beginning of a season and just watch them like work out the shit that they eventually work out and what they throw against the wall. But it seems like their assistants, especially in season 7, are definitely getting those scripts, which is, you know, great because they have careers to go start too.
So I'm going to go a little like intel status with you guys right now and I want to try and figure out what the original idea was. Speaking about the writer's room, because I think when I watch the show, I think about the writer's room just as much as I think about the show, how things are crafted. I think that PLL is probably a show that's much more true to the actual writer's draft than most shows, because you can really tell the unique voices. Like, you know when a new writer has written the episode. Like, I can always find the staff writer episode, always. And so I've always wondered, like, when they decide to take the turns. And I think that I was in a meeting a while back, and the person had worked at Freeform previously, and they just had the Charlotte reveal like the week before. And even though this person no longer worked at Freeform, like I walked in and I just was like, "Hi, I'm Molly Maglier. Pleased to meet you. Like, I'm obsessed with Pretty Little Liars. Like, thanks for bringing the greatest thing into my life ever." And he was like, "Did you see the finale?" I'm like, "No shit, obviously. And by the way, I predicted that storyline like last year." And he was like, "Really?" And I was like, "Yeah." And he's like, "So that felt like that was supposed to be the end of that felt like that was supposed to be the reveal." Mm-hmm. And I was like, "Yeah." And like, he kind of suggested that maybe at the last minute a call was made to change the end. And I feel like I can just picture like Marlene walking in one day and being like, "Okay, I figured it out." And like they rebroke the last like three episodes leading up to it, because when they were in the torture chamber or whatever in the dollhouse, like it really seemed like that was like a fresh piece of material for them. Like that was a new area that they hadn't really spent a lot of time in before.
Right.
Just in like the creation process of it. And so I've been trying to figure out for like, you know, what, a year and a half now, what the original ending of that series, of that season was supposed to be.
What I suspect may have happened is that I think they definitely laid so many crumbs for it being Cece that I don't think that that was something they came up with last minute. They might have decided eventually that there was this other third person that, you know, AD basically still exists out there. And so that might have changed how they had Charlotte tell her story to kind of excise key moments, and like maybe she's not super reliable as a witness because of that. Because I could see something where they're like, "Oh, hey, we figured out who the next villain is going to be after the time jump. Here's how it ties into Charlotte. And because of that, we need to alter some things about this ending." But I think they always knew that Charlotte was going to be A, or at least the big new reveal.
You really, really think that?
Yeah, there's like so much stuff from like early season 3 and season 4. It's just like these huge neon arrows pointing like, yeah, Cece's definitely shady. Like, she's definitely up to something. Like, she literally wears a black hoodie at one point and is like eavesdropping.
Well, shady, duh. I mean, mm-hmm. They're all kind of shady. Any peripheral character who comes into the show at any given point is a total shade monster. I'm just like shocked that you actually thought Cece was always the plan, because the character itself just seems so random to me. I felt that they really dropped that Allison was pregnant storyline with Board Shorts. Do we know who Board Shorts is yet?
Theoretically Wilden, but no real confirmation.
Again, what is with these perverts just like hanging around these 14-year-old girls? It's so crazy what this show has done with that. I really started to suspect in my gut that it was going to be a trans storyline. I didn't know for sure who it was going to be. I figured it was probably Cece, but it took me so long to come. It took me years to come around to the fact that Cece could be more than just kind of like a fun throwaway character.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know there is like a little weird Easter egg. I believe it is Spencer's like murder shower that tries to steam her to death.
Yeah.
There is a number on the readout that it, like, it's the episode number and exact like minute and second number that CC Drake appears for the first time. And so that was not a mistake to include that exact number that translates. Like, if you were really paying attention, you could have gone and looked that up and been like, oh, there's CC. There's A. So I do think they had it planned out a long time in advance to work in that sort of Easter egg.
But okay, so we know how far ahead they film, right? Do you think that, I mean, obviously a number like that is added in post. Like, don't you think that maybe as they started to figure out in the writer's room, okay, we got to go with CC, we have to go with CC, we have to figure out a way to legitimize the whole thing. I feel like the shower scene happened
that's still season three. It was like late season three.
Oh, seriously?
Yep.
Oh, when I look back on it, I feel like it was like season six, but you're right. No, you're right. Okay.
I was just gonna say, when I had drinks with Joseph Doherty a few months ago in San Francisco, he says that he's constantly asked.
Look at you name dropping.
I know. Yeah. I was biting my tongue.
This started with her talking about a meeting. So like he was saying that he constantly gets asked from people, like, at what point did you change and make it CC? And he said, you know, from the moment she walked on screen, we knew that was the plan. Like they changed some of the little details getting there, but it was always going to be CC.
Because why? Vanessa Ray is a phenomenal actress.
I've enjoyed what she's done, but I don't know. I mean, maybe that was just the character, and then she ended up being that character, and they, you know, they took her there.
Well, it makes a lot of sense. They try to not do the books exactly, but, you know, there is an Allie twin in the books, and so it's like, well, here's kind of an Allie twin, but a little bit different, a little bit of a shakeup.
Sure. No, you're sure. And by the way, as I'm shit-talking all these people actively, I'm thinking that we have to post this after I find out the next big piece of news in my life. I probably should not publish this tomorrow. I think that she did actually a pretty decent job with Charlotte. Now that I look back on it, I think that she did a really good job of differentiating between Cece and Charlotte, even in just the way that she kind of postured herself. There was really, really subtle changes, that she made. I feel like also they might have done the trans storyline. I mean, they couldn't have known that Caitlyn Jenner was going to come out like the week before that aired. They couldn't have possibly known that. But I also feel like they chose a storyline or a character trait / storyline that like people are hesitant to ask questions about. Because like anytime I was online and I was reading people like asking genuine questions, being like, well, wait, when did Charlotte transition? Like, when is she like, you know, what does she have? Like, you know, does she have a vagina? Like that was seemed to be the big question. Anytime any fan would ask that, there would be the immediate response of like, that's inappropriate and it's none of your business. And I'm like, I agree that that's an inappropriate question to ask an actual trans person. But we have been following this story super closely for so many years now. I kind of would like to know. And I feel like they almost blindsided us by picking a topic that everyone is kind of afraid to have a dialogue about, especially at that time. Like it just was so, it was such a fresh dialogue for the population at large.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that one of the things I've been thinking about a lot lately is TV shows and how much they actually plan into the future. And I'm kind of getting the feeling that like the further out you plan, the more you're setting yourself up to run into trouble. Not even necessarily just with the transgender storyline, but just in general, like if you have this kind of like darling of an idea that you don't want to kill, cause you're like, oh, this is how it ends in 6 years rather than sticking with that, what if you just let it develop organically and see where you're at when that happens? You can kind of avoid the, what was the show? How I Met Your Mother, where like everybody hated the finale, which had been planning to do it that way forever. It's like, maybe if you weren't holding on to that and you were kind of open to fresh ideas, you wouldn't run yourself into trouble like this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just no one's ever going to be satisfied. Like, there's no way to win with something that people love so much. I feel like everyone needs to get their expectations on point, because every show that we've all followed and loved, remember, like, the Seinfeld finale was apparently the most offensive thing of all time. I mean, I remember, of course, being disappointed by it when I was, like, 10, whenever that aired. Friends, very disappointing. Lost, so disappointing. Finales are – the only finale that has never disappointed me is Friday Night Lights. But I think for the most part, you're going to find – there's never going to be a right answer. Everyone has such a different relationship with the show. It's impossible to please everybody without – while still giving it some sort of element of surprise or a little bit of a twist. It's like almost the curse of being a creator is that, like, once people love your work, the next phase is eventually the letdown.
Yeah, especially with a long-running show. Usually your seasons 2 and 3 of a show are, like, when it's really firing on all cylinders, and then it just slowly tapers off after that. And on a show like PLL, by season 7, like, how do you keep coming up with plot lines where the audience's immediate response is, why don't they just go to the cops? Like, why don't they just go to the cops over and over again? You know, how do you continue to suspend disbelief like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the show is strong with its character moments, but you still are shackled with shit like, you know, we're never going to see Ezra in handcuffs, which would be a great progression over 7 seasons.
So wait, but we did see, was that supposed to be, we were supposed to just write that off as some sort of like Aria fever dream when Ezra was getting called out? I mean, that's such bullshit, dude. That would have been the raddest storyline.
Yeah.
Like Ezra making friends in prison, that would have like opened up a whole new situation. What if Ezra got murdered by all the other prisoners for being a pedophile? They hate pedophiles in jail.
Let me tell you the scene where Ian Harding gets an Emmy. It's when he's on the other side of the glass on the phone crying to Arya.
Yes!
And she just slowly hangs up the phone and stands up and walks away.
Yeah, like the Colonel and Burt Reynolds and Boogie Nights. Yeah.
Or like the last scene in The Craigslist Killer, a movie I just watched for my podcast, Mother May I Sleep With Podcast. It's all about Lifetime original movies. So you guys should head over to the iTunes store and rate it 5 stars and leave a review. Wait, so I have to ask, how did 2 grown-ass men get into Pretty Little Liars? I know my story. I got addicted in a RV at Bonnaroo on an iPad. My friend, my former business partner, actually, I was like, yo, I want to watch a show on Netflix. And she's like, oh, I just watched that Pretty Little Liars show, because she was trying to work with Alloy or something at the time. And she was like, it's okay. And I sat in bed at Bonnaroo, and that is what I did during all of my daytime hours while I was waiting for Tennessee to cool the fuck down. I blew through 2 seasons of Pretty Little Liars in an RV in 113-degree heat. And it was like the best thing I've ever lived. I mean, I was immediately obsessed. How did you guys get into the show?
Marco, you go first.
It's kind of fitting that we ended up doing this together, only because I had like an iPad or an iPod Nano that I actually got from Benji. And at some point, the very first thing I ever bought in iTunes was the PLL pilot, which I watched on that little iPad Nano or iPod Nano. And then I just started watching it like on Hulu sporadically. It was my guilty pleasure show. And then a few years later, I think Benji started like binging it one night at work because he had nothing else to do. And I mean, I don't want to speak too much for Benji, but I feel like the podcast basically evolved out of our like 3-hour late night phone conversations about how much we love the show. And then just threatening that we should do a podcast of this someday. And you know, here we are.
You just like buy pilots for the sake of like, as a writer, obviously the goal is to watch as many pilots as possible. So the format just gets drilled into your brain. Mm-hmm. But why, I mean, like what would possess you to buy the Pretty Little Liars pilot?
I wish I could tell you. So any show that starts off with like a murder mystery, you're going to hook me in.
Marco, would it be fair to say that you had seen the first look before the movies, like advertisements for Pretty Little Liars? Because that's how I was aware of it.
I can literally tell you the person on Twitter who started tweeting about like, here's a show about a girl who gets involved with her teacher. And having been a fan of Dawson's Creek, I was like, huh, that's a weird detail. And then I remember it starts with a murder mystery and the plot sounded interesting. And it was just one of those late night, I'm on my computer, I'm on iTunes. I was like, oh, fuck it. You know, $1.99, we'll see what happens here. because I wasn't very good at torrenting or anything like that at the time. And then, yeah, I just started watching the show.
Prediction, Marco, you are going to marry that woman. But I have to say, when I found out about the iPod Nano thing, the first time you said that on the podcast, I laughed so fucking hard. But mostly just because I have been that low in my life. Like, yep. One time I was so fucking broke at one point. I didn't have a mattress because I had had bed bugs that ate my entire life. And, like, I had nothing. And I remember my laptop had blown out. And I went to Coffee Bean to just charge my iPod and see if I could get anything. And I had a grainy copy of True Romance on my iPod. And I just laid on the hardwood floor in the dark. Oh, my electricity had been shut off too. So I just laid on the hardwood floor in the dark watching True Romance on an iPod. And so when you said you watch on a Nano of all things, I laughed because I know that pain. Like, I've been there, and it's visceral and it's real, and you will never forget that.
And you'll never be more alive.
Never more. No, honestly, I look back on that place in my life where I was sleeping on a hardwood floor. I was so fucking happy back then. Mm-hmm. Like, where is that girl? I don't know where she is. She was fun.
I think I came at it from the opposite side, where it was like early January for me. I was at home living the bachelor life, really nothing to do at all. I just made myself some top ramen. I sat down to watch Netflix and I didn't know what to watch. And I saw PLL was like, you know, just there somewhere. And I was like, oh yeah, this has those hot actresses on it. I should watch this. And so I tweeted watching Pretty Little Liars, trying to feel something. And I just like binged like 10 episodes that night.
Do you guys get girls being really inappropriate with you? Like young girls? I feel like the PLL audience is so engaged. And then you add on top of that, that you are grown men that talk about loving Pretty Little Liars. I feel like there has to be an intersection of just like disgusting fans that probably treat you like objects. Like, I don't know. Like, is that the case?
Benji, are you an object?
I don't feel like an object. No, I think most of our fans are into their 20s at least. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think we really get that.
What's the biggest? Go ahead.
I was going to say, I feel like, we're the podcast for like the people in their mid to late 20s or beyond for PLL. Like the teeny boppers, the real audience of PLL probably don't listen to podcasts all that much, I don't think.
And probably would not want to listen to us.
Yeah. Especially our view is on like Ezra, you know.
I have to tell you how relieved I was when I found you, though. I get people who call in to Please Advise, which is my advice podcast. You should go on iTunes.
listen to it on your iPod Nano.
I'm like, you're
literally listening to it right now.
I'm pitching the podcast that you guys are listening to. That's how pathetic I am. But no, wait, what was I saying? Hold on, I spaced.
So people calling in about it.
Oh yeah. I was so relieved when I found you guys because I felt like, I remember telling my boyfriend at the time, I'm like, you don't get it. Like, these are people that talk about, like, they're talking about the thing that I love the most, and they're not like idiot teenagers. Like, I was so excited because all I needed in my life was someone who would like dialogue it out about Pretty Little Liars, and you guys filled that niche for me. And I just feel that, you know, a lot of people call Please Advise because it is this thing where people in their late 20s and 30s still love this show, and they love it almost as passionately or maybe even more because they're coming from a more informed place. And there's not enough out there for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I remember when we started doing it, I think one of the reasons we wanted to do the podcast is because really nobody talks about PLL. Like if you go to all the big like AV Club or The Ringer, like the big TV sites, you know, with the TV blogs, nobody ever talks about PLL there. No. It like exists in this other world that, you know, the prestige coverage never notices.
Yeah, we only knew of like two people who were talking about it like seriously. And I don't think we've ever, you know, Jacob Clifton and Heather Hogan, I don't think we've ever actually reached their level. But like, that was it. That was the conversation about this show. So I'm glad to see that it's getting out there more as it reaches its end. I would like to see more people find PLL or find us or find whatever, you know, maybe a couple years earlier than this. But I'm happy we're here.
I am too. You guys, what is the biggest blowback you've received starting the pod.
Biggest blowback. We don't get a ton. I mean, we've been pretty lucky in that regard. Like, we got like one negative review where they're just like, these guys aren't funny or something. Like, I don't know. I think we do pretty well. Marco, can you think of anything?
No, I mean, and if we've gotten even the minor blowback, usually it's deserved. I mean, I don't know how.
I told like a really tacky joke once and I upset a few people, so I apologize to them for that. But other than that, I think that was probably about it.
Yeah.
Stand by that. Mm-hmm. You guys, so I'm going to read you a blind item. Came out, you know what blind items are, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So it came out on Crazy Days and Nights this past July. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but Crazy Days and Nights, like, usually consistently has pretty accurate blind items. And this one is just one sentence, and it says, "This Pretty Little Liars actress tried to kill herself 2 weeks ago."
Wow. That's
who
dark.
Do we think it is?
You know, unfortunately, I think we do know from Twitter that Lindsay Shaw had some issues in that regard.
Thank you. Yes, it has to be. It had to have been Paige. Totally. I don't know what's going on with that girl. I feel so bad. I feel like there's something. First of all, the Paige character is so angry, and it comes from a real place. I can really tell that comes from a real place with that actress. But have you seen that footage of her drunk outside of Bootsy Bellows?
I have not.
You got to look it up. She's like, I'm on a TV show. She's like wasted. It's like really dark because the paparazzi are like letting her think that she's like a huge star. Oh my God, that is so terrible. Do you know what? Okay, yeah. Lindsay, someone in the comment wrote a couple months ago, she tweeted about a previous suicide attempt.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what is going on in her life? Is that like rumored at all?
I have no idea what's going on in her life. I can tell you, if you've ever looked at her Twitter mentions, people are horrible to her. I don't really know why, but she gets so much hate on Twitter. It's insane.
Yeah. I mean, well, Paige is kind of a brutal character. I think that the show is desperate for us to forget that she was a murderous psycho for like the first two seasons that we knew her. I still don't really understand how Emily managed to forgive her. I feel like my high school boyfriend and I know I got him a detention. And then we dated for 3 years, but like he never tried to kill me.
But I think a lot of people forget that Paige, the fictional character, was this or that or whatever. But like this inspires people to go on Twitter and just be fucking monstrous to her.
Yeah.
Like constantly, even for that period of time where she hadn't been on the show for like a year.
Do you think she gets it the worst?
Oh yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Probably. God, I don't even want to think about who gets it the worst. Because I mean, like I see the writers will post, you know, a picture of Emily and Paige together. And then like the Emerson people will just descend, you know, like flesh-eating bacteria on them or vice versa. It's surprisingly fucking brutal.
Is Emerson like the most shipped? Like, I'm not really clear. I don't really follow that aspect of it because then I start to feel like a pervert. But I feel like this probably comes more your way. What is the ship that you see the most?
Emerson's probably the loudest in some regard.
Yes.
I saw a thing, like, you know how all the actors, they, like, do their little t-shirts for the ship, like the Spobie shirt and the Emerson shirt that they sell for charity?
Yeah.
I want to say that the Toby Spencer shirt, the Spobie shirt, like, outsold them all. Like, it just, like, blew them all away, which that would be, like, a weird silent majority for Toby Spencer to be the most popular one, but I could kind of see it. I mean, Spencer's a popular character.
Dude, Toby is such a dud. Like, what does she see in him? I would love to think, like, it makes me think that, like, I mean, we know that Spencer is some sort of sex addict or something.
I mean, he's totally hung, right? I mean, it's got to be that.
I mean, it has to be that because, I mean, yeah, like, I guess he has muscles, but, like, there's no personality there. And, like, maybe Spencer, I guess she could be the kind of person who's, like, just sit there and look pretty. But, like, what was their, like, emotional connection, really?
I think it started because they were both, at the time, like, murder suspects. Yeah. Or recent murder suspects. They're both outsiders. I don't know what sustained that relationship. I can only assume that, like, Toby had abs and he was comfortable.
Yeah.
And a huge dick.
Huge dick. Okay, I'm going to read you guys another blind item just because I feel like I have you here and I just need two adults to talk to that know about this stuff. So, this is, from August, 2012. And it says, this actress is C+. To a group of people, she's probably a B, but for most of the world, you would be hard pressed to identify what hit show she is in, because even though it is a hit, chances are you haven't watched it. Anyway, our actress has been through more than most. She was subject to some time with the same abuser who has managed to get his hands on other tween stars. The difference with this actress is that she knew how to handle herself. She told him no, and when he said he could get her more roles, she still said no. She could not stop him from groping her because he was bigger and stronger, but that was all he managed to get. Our young actress has a lot of experience fending off guys because, unlike most actresses who primarily work with people their own age, our actress has always worked with a lot of older actors and has been fending them off since a very early age. There have been times where she spent entire days hiding out locked in a dressing room because the 50-something co-star would come and try and find her whenever he got drunk. That's not to say that she hasn't been persuaded. She'll be the first to admit that she lost her virginity to a guy who would go to jail if anyone found out. She was a teen and he was in his late 30s. She's not much older than a teen now, but has always seemed to have been acting and making her own decisions. When you meet her, she has a shell that is so hard and no one ever gets to crack it, ever. Too much drama, too many fights. Never let them see who you really are, she says. She has a boyfriend right now and a guy she sees on the side, and they both think that they know her and that she's crazy about them. Nope. She's just with them because she feels like it's a part of her job description. Great acting job, great boyfriend, and then someone on the side who cares for her, but she does not give back much, at least emotionally. So this is widely rumored to be one of the PLL girls. If you had to take a bet, who do you think it is?
Well, first, I want to buy that line item and option it for a movie.
I know, right?
I don't think that's any of the PLLs. Doesn't sound like them. No.
The comments are going back.
Everyone's going to say Ashley Benson, I'm going to guess, but I do not think that's her.
I mean, Ashley Benson's tough, dude. She's like tough. I mean, basically based on her Snapchat. I'm pulling this all from her Snapchat. But it's mostly going back between like Miranda Cosgrove, and every single one of the PLLs is suspected.
Huh.
Dude, what if it's Bynes?
That would make a lot of sense.
Praying for her. Okay, so that was fascinating to me. I need to know if you could go back and just like blow out one storyline to make this show perfect, which one would it be?
Like remove a storyline?
Yeah, or even a character altogether, just like kind of like a domino effect on the series that would make it better because that person or incident never happened.
I would excise Toby's mom storyline, which would hopefully have the domino effect of removing the Mary Kavanaugh mystery, which removes Bethany Young, which removes all the current shenanigans at Radley. I feel like there's just more interesting directions to go in there.
Yeah.
All of that. If I had to pick something else, I would severely tweak all of the Nate St. Germain stuff.
Yes. Oh, it just needed a tweak. It was right there. It was right there. And then it got so weird at the end. And again, like, I look back on Emily's character, and for some reason, that's still boring to me.
Well, because she didn't have much to do. She was just kind of there, like, oh, that's so sad. Your sister died.
Had they all murdered at this point?
All except Spencer.
Emily twice.
Spencer's never killed anyone?
That we know of now. Shockingly.
Damn. I feel like we're going to find some shit out. Yeah, I feel like Spencer has bodies stacked. And also, Mr. Hastings is like a complete creep. I feel like I need to see more from Mr. Hastings right now.
Yes. Always. I guess he's coming back. I mean, he's on set.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Troyan was like plugging his new app the other day.
Yeah.
I love that he's developing apps in his free time.
Well, how much do you know about Nolan North, the actor?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know anything.
Okay, well, it might surprise you to learn that he's sort of like the Tom Hanks of video game voice acting. Like, any major modern video game, there's a good bet he did the voice in it. Like, he does the voice of the Uncharted character Nathan Drake. Like, he's huge in the video game world.
That's good money, right?
I guess.
It's got to be easy money, because that's like an afternoon.
Yes.
And taking a paycheck.
Well, he's got to wear like the mocap suit too, so he does some of that.
Yeah, I feel like the people that when you go to their IMDb and they've done a video game, they've done a bunch of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm mostly fascinated by like the chicks that they pick. How do you think they pick the voices for a video game? I don't play them, so I don't understand. Does Nolan North have a great voice?
He does, actually. He's really good. He's done video games where like he did a character I didn't realize was him until I saw it in the credits.
Yeah, I need to also know more about, I'm kind of bummed the way that they dropped Arya's dad being a cheater. That was really fascinating to me, and I kind of want more of that. I want that chick, what was her name?
Meredith.
Ugh, I need her to come back. I loved her.
Yeah. She was who I wanted to be A at the end of the CC reveal. Like, if it wasn't CC, I wanted to be A. Meredith.
You guys, thank you so much. Is there anything else that you want to touch on before we wrap up today?
Marco?
I just want to say real quick, it's an honor to talk to you, Malls, because like this is going to be really dorky, but when I first discovered like Tumblr 8 years ago, like you were one of the pillars for me.
Oh my God, thank you so much.
And so when I remember watching the video you did with Tess Lynch, where you're both like shooting guns in the alleyway, and then one of you says, "Boner party is over."
Yeah.
I was like, Tumblr will never be as good as this.
Oh my God, that is so wild. I had no idea. Thank you. That was wild. I totally forgot about that video. Do you know who directed that?
I do not remember. I just remember something that was a thing online. I loved it.
He won an Emmy last night.
Oh, cool.
Peter Atencio from Key and Peele. And Keanu fame. He directed that for... God, Tumblr was so small back in the day that they invited like four of us to drinks. It was like me, Ned Hepburn, and someone else. And it was like actual David. And then the guy, John, that started it with him. And it was like the craziest thing ever. Tumblr used to be so small.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. If I had any idea, dude, I would have reached out way sooner than I did if you knew I was alive. That's huge. Well, thank you so much for doing this with me, you guys. I kind of wish that we had gotten to do this earlier when we initially planned, because I feel very like down on the show right now. I compared it on one of my last episodes of Please Advise to like, it's kind of like the family member that still gets invited to Thanksgiving every year, but you like hate them and you have to suffer through conversation with them, but you're never not going to have them at a holiday. That's mm-hmm. kind of where I'm at with this show at this point. So you guys are really kind of keeping me hanging on, because I have no one else in my life that's interested in this shit anymore.
Awesome. Awesome. Glad we could do that.
Yeah, really.
Adore you guys. Thank you so much. And you guys, yeah, thanks. You're the best. Please
thank you.
All right.